And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
Well, how is your joy as Christmas approaches? Scale of 1 to 10. How's your joy? Let me ask that differently. How is your joy in the Lord as Christmas approaches? See, when we take our eyes off Jesus, when we focus perhaps on our physical circumstances that are real and important, or our personal relationships that are real and important, or our own sin and mess that are real and important, when we focus on those things alone, we can soon become downcast, can't we? And when a season like Christmas is approaching, when the world is telling us we ought to feel joy, it can make us feel even worse. Do you remember our verse for the year? Back in January of this year, and at different times through the year, we've come back to that verse. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." That's our focus as we enter this Christmas season. That will be the focus of the Bible readings and the sermons that we have through each of our services over the next few weeks. Our joy. Following that prayer from Psalm 51, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." We're going to be particularly using Luke's gospel to help us as we encounter different people, as Luke shares with us the nativity, the birth of the Lord Jesus, and we'll see different people responding in joy, in spite of their circumstances. As their eyes fix on the Lord Jesus, who he is, why he's come, what he's going to do, joy. We'll see again and again, joy in the Lord. We'll consider what's causing their joy. We'll think together, how can their joy be our joy? Might our joy swell a little bit more this Christmas season as we look together at the Lord Jesus? Today we're focusing in on Mary. Mary's joy. Mary's been introduced to us already. If we'd been reading from the beginning of Luke's gospel, we'd have been introduced to her. In fact, Luke at the beginning of his gospel tells us something really important. And as we jump into this new book of the Bible, we're starting a new series today, it's helpful to just look at his introduction at the beginning. He gives us an introduction. Just flick back with me to the first few verses of chapter 1. He says this: "Many have undertaken to draw up an account," this is verse 1, "of the things that have been fulfilled among us. Just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Those are really important verses. We can skip over them quickly as we enter Luke's gospel. Luke is telling us, look, I've spoken to people. I've got eyewitness details of what took place so that you can be certain this is true. So as we come to look at Mary, it's not a fairy tale. No, Luke has found out this is true. These things happened. These things were said. We can trust these things. After that introduction, he introduces us to another couple, not Mary and Joseph, but Zechariah and Elizabeth. They're an older couple. They've been unable to conceive through their lives together. But an angel appears and promises them a son. That son will be John the Baptist. And Elizabeth conceives. And then in verse 26, Mary is introduced. Again, another angel appears to her, promising her the gift of a son. Most amazingly, God's son. And the angel tells her, look, it's not just you, but your relative Elizabeth, she's also pregnant. And so Mary goes off to visit Elizabeth. And in the verses before our verses today, which we're going to be looking at daytime carol service this week, we hear the interaction between Elizabeth and Mary. Elizabeth, filled by the Holy Spirit, knows that Mary is pregnant already, and her words almost confirm to Mary what she's heard from the angel, what she's believed. It really is true. And then look at verse 45. Elizabeth says this to Mary, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." It's quite a statement, isn't it? Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. And Mary responds, I am blessed, aren't I? Her joy swells. And we hear the outpouring of it in what's become known as the Magnificat. Taken from those words, my soul magnifies. Rebecca McLaughlin puts it this way, I think in a lovely way, in her book, Jesus Through the Eyes of Women. She says, her speech is like a gorgeous tapestry woven from many Old Testament threads. But in particular, her words echo the speech of an Old Testament mother who delivers one of the most magnificent speeches made by any human being in Scripture, Hannah. Before we get on to Mary's joy, Mary knew her scriptures. She knew her Bible. As she pours forth with joy, out comes Bible words, Bible truths, truths about God that she's learned from the scriptures. That's an encouragement to us to keep feeding on God's word. Keep taking in his words, which will help us when we respond to him. They'll shape the truths we might proclaim or say or pray about who God is and what he's like. They'll be the richer for it, like Mary's. Well, we're going to see three things as we look at what she says, what pours out of her heart. That the headline is this: for her, and I trust for us, the headline is this: soulful joy in God, our Saviour. Elizabeth's words, verse 45, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. And Mary says, verse 46, my soul glorifies the Lord, And my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. This is a pair of lines that mirror each other. So we work our way through those lines. So the same thing is being said again, but in a different way. And so first of all, my soul and my spirit. They're mirroring each other. They're saying the same thing. This is, if you like, from deep within. My soul glorifies. My spirit rejoices. The Bible tells us we're made up of two parts as human beings. We're body and soul. The inner you on the inside, our bodies decay. In the new creation, we'll get a new body. Our soul is eternal. And from her soul, from her spirit, from her heart, Mary glorifies. Mary rejoices. That's the mirror of glorifies. And what's her rejoicing? What's her glorifying in? Again, she puts it two ways in those two lines. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Here's the focus of her joy. He is the focus of her joy. And it's striking, isn't it? Mary's been told a remarkable thing by the angel. You're going to conceive. You're going to carry and give birth to the Son of God. You're to call him Jesus, which means the Lord saves. And Mary recognizes she needs a Savior. And miraculously at that time, her Savior is within her. And as she pours out in joy in response to what God is doing, she recognizes she needs this Savior too. It's not that she's going to give birth to a Savior that everyone else will benefit from, but Mary herself rejoices in the truth that her Savior has come. She too needs saving. She's not been chosen to be the mother of our Lord because she was perfect or sinless. The Bible's very clear. We've seen it in Romans, haven't we? There is no one righteous. Not you, not me, not Mary. But God has provided a Savior. And Mary rejoices. Notice how she phrases it. My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. Is he your Saviour? As this Christmas time approaches, can you say those words yourself? Do you know Jesus as your Saviour? That's why he came. That's what his name points to. Can I encourage you this Christmas season to look to him, to find out, perhaps to read through Luke's gospel, to investigate. Do I need saving? Why do I need saving? Can he save me? Has he saved me? Can I trust him to save me? Those are really important questions. Is he your Saviour? Maybe he is your Saviour. And maybe the words Elizabeth said could be said to you. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfil his promises to her. Is that you? Are you believing that the Lord will fulfil his promises to you? That's what it is to be a Christian, to trust in God's promises in Christ. Well, let's drill down into two aspects of what it is Mary is rejoicing in, what it is about God, her Saviour, particularly, that has captured her heart and caused her to respond in this way. Two things I think we see through her words. The first is this. The Lord is holy, yet personal. Holy, yet personal. Look at how Mary goes on, verse 48. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Holy is his name. His name is his character. God's character is holy. God is holy. That means he's different to us, separate from us. He's perfect. He's fully good. He's righteous in every way. He's pure. He's spotless. He's holy. He is the creator. He's holy. He's unapproachable. He's holy. Again, we see that as we walk through the pages of the Old Testament, don't we? That is very clear about who God is and what he's like. He is holy. And yet, look again at verse 48. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant, says Mary. The holy God knows Mary. Mary was the most common girl's name in her day, apparently. She was in many ways a nobody from nowhere. She was from Nazareth in Galilee. Looked down on place. A place that to come from there carried a bit of shame within the nation. A nobody from nowhere. It's been both tragic and striking this week, hasn't it, to have a teenager killed by Sutton Station. And it's been really striking that there's been hardly anything in the press since. We know his name. Elias Habibi. We know nothing of his family, nothing of his circumstances. Think of others over the past year or over recent years who've been murdered, and we quickly find out a lot about them, don't we? Picture, front page of the newspapers, all sorts of details about their background, what they're like. And nobody from nowhere. The Lord knew Elias Habibi. The Lord knew Mary. The Lord knows you. Knows all about you. Every detail of your life. The Lord knows. And he is mindful of you. That's an extraordinary thought, isn't it? Psalm 8 picks up that idea. Looking up to the sky at night, the heavens, the stars. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him, says the psalmist. It's the same feeling that Mary has. Who am I? That the Lord should think of me, should choose me. But from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Now, for sure, there's a huge difference in some ways between Mary and us. She was to be the mother of our Lord. She's got an extraordinary place in the history of salvation. And yet, as we read through the New Testament, as we hear what God has done for us, her words do become our words, don't they? We can say the same things that Mary says here. God is a holy God, and yet he's been mindful of me. I am blessed by him because of what he's done to me. He's called me by name if I am his. He's brought me into his family, adopted me as his child. He's given me an inheritance that will never perish or spoil or fade. He's given me a new identity, a security that no one can take from me. I am blessed. Verse 49, for the mighty one has done great things for me. See how personal this is as Mary speaks all through these verses. Go back to verse 46. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Verse 48, from now on all generations will call me blessed. Verse 49, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Holy yet personal. When we meditate on what God has done for us personally through Christ, and can I encourage you to make time for that? Over the next week, to stop, be still before the Lord, and just think through, what has he done for you in Christ? Calling you by name. Knowing your sin, yet offering you a Saviour. Giving you his Spirit. Promising you eternity. When you stop and meditate on these things, what emotions are stirred? What songs come to mind? What prayers flow from our lips? It will help your joy swell as you remember personally the Lord is holy yet personal. Soulful joy in God our Saviour. Well, secondly, Mary goes on, he's also mighty yet merciful. Verse 49, Mary calls him the Mighty One. That's a title that's used throughout the Old Testament for God. Speaks of his strength, his power, doesn't it? His rule. He's the Mighty One. Heard something similar in Isaiah as Chris began our service. I am God and there is no other, he says. No rival. He is the Mighty One. Now, humanly speaking, when we think of the mighty ones, we recognize that often mighty ones are interested in other mighty ones. Important ones are often interested in other important ones, aren't they, as human beings? The rich, the famous, the powerful. They often focus on or are interested by people of similar status. It's not true of God. Not the Mighty One. We've seen already his focus on the humble, even as we've read through Luke's Gospel, Elizabeth and Mary, these two extraordinary women and yet two ordinary women. Both stunned that they've been caught up in God's purposes. Both saying, who am I? How is this? And Mary pushes in on that point. He's mighty yet merciful. Not treating us as we deserve. And so she goes on to describe things that God will do through the Saviour, through the Messiah, through Jesus. She goes on to describe them as if they've already happened. She's that certain. Verse 50, his mercy extends to those who fear him. He's lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things. It's exactly what we see Jesus doing, isn't it, when he appears on the scene later in Luke's gospel. It's exactly what Jesus does for us now. Yet to the proud, the powerful, the rich, verse 51, he's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Verse 52, he's brought down rulers from their thrones. Verse 53, he sent the rich away empty. Why? Well, because the proud and the powerful and the rich often live life without God. No need of God, in opposition to God. Not wanting to know about a mighty one. Reliant on themselves, their own resources, their own power or strength or wealth. Not fearing God. Not looking to God for his mercy. Yet God is mighty and merciful to those who will simply turn to him and ask and seek his mercy. And Mary knows this because she knows her Bible. And she knows that God is unswerving from his promises. Verse 54, he's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Those promises made to Abraham long ago. I will bless you. Indeed, through you, I will bless this world. That promise pointing forward to the Lord Jesus who would come. That descendant of Abraham, through whom blessing to the world would come, blessing to us would come. Undeserved. All grace and mercy. He's lifted the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things. Again, this week, meditate on this. How has the Lord lifted you? Where from? What to? What good things has the Lord filled you with? What promises? What change by his Spirit? What hope? And again, as you meditate on these things, your joy will grow as you remember, dwell on, think through, respond to what he has done for you in Christ. Our Advent devotional says these words at the end of the chapter for today. Chris read the Bible verses earlier. Matt Searles ends with this. Are your circumstances hard? Jesus is greater. Are you weighed down by sins? His mercy is more. Are you fearful for the future? He holds it in his hands. Do you feel weak and weary? In the Lord alone are deliverance and strength. He is God and there is no other. Find your deliverance in him and put your trust in him. And I might add at the end, and your joy will grow.